2 Nephi chapter 13. We continue on talking about the prophecies of Isaiah, and in this case he says that he's prophesying to Jerusalem and Judah. This is really to us, again, Mormon included this in this for us, not because we're to sit and look at it and say, oh, the Lord likes to gossip about Jerusalem and Jerusalem. He's obviously including this to us because it applies to us. And I think as you read it, I think you'll compel to see that, that it does apply today. Also, we talked a few lessons ago, Jacob had said to liken it unto his people and therefore to liken it unto all time. So as it begins, as we read this and this, we think of this as being a song to our soul, we will see that it does apply to us. And it tells us that the Lord is going to take away his staff and his stay. That means he's going to take away his spirit, he's going to take away himself, he's going to take away his gospel from us. And we see that that's already happened, and it's not that he's taken it away, it's that we have rejected it. We don't want his spirit. We don't want him, and we don't want his gospel, meaning we want the leaders of our church. That's who we want. We want the leaders of our business and the way the world tells us to do things and the leaders of our government. And we don't want the Book of Mormon. We'd rather talk of our own precepts. So he's taken away these things that give us strength. And because he does this, then we will be brought lower. He'll cause us to be brought lower. We'll bring ourselves low. And so he lists those who will be brought low. And those include prophets. And that's an interesting thing to see that was included there, and it was prophets. Who else in the world claims to have their leaders are prophets? But yet these prophets do not prophesy. They just are self-proclaimed prophets. And they go around with their heads high because they are prophets, seers, and revelators. And he says they will be brought low. And he says in verse 4 that the young shall rule instead of the old. Instead of the old, who are the wise? And the world will begin to idolize the youth. And everything that we see in the movies and the pictures and everywhere we go will all be centered on the youth. And everyone will wish that they were young. And the world will therefore be ruled by the youth, and the marketplaces and everything that is developed, and products and everything will all be centered around the youth. And people will oppress their neighbors the way they will set up ordinances, and they will say, your neighbor cannot do this or that with their property. It has to be done this way. And through peer pressure, we will tell the others how they can live and how they can't live. And everyone will begin to do it just according to a standard that is set by their society. That is not set by God, but it is set by the way they want to be viewed by their peers. And people like saying things like, something should do something about that guy. I don't like the way the guy does this over on his property. And everybody will be always thinking about oppressing others and making laws after laws after laws that control us and tell us what to do right down until we're into a day when we're making and supporting laws that even tell us how we're supposed to feel towards a minority and think that they can legislate a morality and a love and an ethic. That the young shall not respect the elders, and we'll see a day that they run around unto themselves, which is obviously today. And then it says in verse 6, come times of scarcity. And they will look at a man and who has probably been a leader, and they'll look at these men and they'll say, you have in your home, because those that are rich have taken from the others, and those that are still, when they have taken from everyone else to become rich, they have always claimed, well, I'm doing this because I am leading you, and I'm going to take care of you, and let me be in charge, and you'll all be taken care of, and there'll be plenty for everyone. And this is how the leaders talk, but whenever a leader, whether he's in government or in business, talks, he always gets the bigger share, and he always gets the best share. And he always takes it from someone else because he doesn't produce it himself. And now all of a sudden the people will come and say, you have always been saying that you're going to give to us and take care of us. Now you have, give to us. And he will say, as he does in 7, that he doesn't want to give it. And he'll lie and say that he doesn't have, because he really now doesn't want to take care of the people. He just wanted to oppress someone else and to take from them so that he could have plenty, and therefore he could have the glory and the product and the power. But he really had no capability himself. He was just like the devil. He had to take it from someone else. He says in 8, because you, not just the leaders, all of you have not wanted the Lord to rule over you. You have wanted these men to rule over you. And you, in your daily lives, you go to work. You have not wanted the Lord to be in your lives. You have put him off. And he says, therefore, in 9, the world is like Sodom. And then in our world, we see that the world is that it is like Sodom and has every inkling of it and worse. And yet our church sends us out to the world and says, "Oh yes, you're supposed to be part of that world. Go be in it, but not of it." As if we can enjoy being part of Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet as it does that. It should be obvious to anyone that we should not have a desire to be around it, and it should oppress us and give us great sorrow to be in that world. And no one would rightfully send us out into there unless in their minds and in your mind you wanted to be in it because you were taking some great glory and some satisfaction and joy in being in it. And so that really the church leaders are only saying what you want to hear. But there are some righteous among the earth, and they will receive a reward according to their faith in the Lord, and He will take care of them, and He will give them the good fruit to eat. But on the same token, the wicked will get what they deserve also, and which is the condemnation and the wrath of the Lord. In verse 12, by the time we're to verse 12, we're talking about the young going wild in the world. And you can't go in the cities because of the gangs and the projects. The young oppress the elderly, and everywhere we look, we find that the young are oppressing all of us and putting us into some fear. And we look and we see that women are becoming the political leaders, it says here, and that the issues of women are what government then becomes all about. And we see today that it's the ERA and abortion and child care and all these things to take care of the social programs, take care of unwed mothers and all. And we're not saying all these things are evil, but it is saying that those become the things that rule us instead of being the things of God and turning to Him and believing that He can take care of these things and believing that if we do turn to the Lord, then all these things will fall into place of themselves and we don't have to worry about this. But mostly it's most of these issues are not the issues themselves. They are the issues to lift up women above us so that they are indeed ruling us, and all the efforts of our government and our economy are toward upholding them and lifting them up instead of lifting the Lord up, and then we're all taken care of. But he says, and the leaders and most of you, eat and are rich, but why? Because of the low class who are the workers. And the other people, the people who are doing the real producing and the real work, you eat of their work until you have eaten it all and you are in scarcity. And you do not want in these times for a poor woman who is leading a family. So we have a single parent family. You do not want her to have the same thing you have. You have no program for her to have time at home all day like the other women in the church. You have no, and so that she can have time to raise a family. You do not focus that. That is the most important thing for you and for her and for everyone to raise up these children. You don't focus on that. Instead, you glory in keeping her down by throwing at her some pittance or giving her a little church welfare or taking care of these things, and you glory that you have given her a little, but you don't stand up for her and you don't really want to find out how to create a community or an area where she actually has her own house and she raises her children and teaches them to garden and be self-sufficient and so forth, and she's with her children all day. No, you don't want that. Because then also that would do away with your glory, because she would be on her own and be with the Lord. But he begins in 16 talking about how those of the church wear the fine clothes, and the daughters of the leaders in Zion, who we then obviously associate with being the leaders of the church today, meaning those that are the exemplary. Though in our day they will have high heads and they will look for attention and run around in their fine clothes and they're giggling, and their heads will not be low, and their eyes will not be introspect, looking to the Lord and feeling the Lord, but they will be high and open and giggly and laughing and making all sorts of attention as they walk down the hall of the church in their pride and uh and they will care mostly. They'll really be caring about the things of the world and their clothes. And because they care these clothes, because they will walk around with their heads high, the Lord will curse their head with a scab, so that they're, because he can't stand seeing their head up there like that, and so that it'll then be, their head will be made low, and he will reveal to the world their secret feelings, that their feelings aren't really to the Lord and to Lord, but only to their own glory and their own high-mindedness. And so then he even lists how they look, which is an exact list of looking of how the women of our church of Zion are today, and how they look, and how they take all their time is spent in how they look as they go to church, in all their fine clothes and apparel. And he says finally in 24 that he will, that is a curse to them, he will do away with their perfume, and instead they will stink due to curses or some kind of plagues or whatever it is that the Lord will bring upon them. And he will even cause their men to be die in war, and because they take great glory in these wonderful men that they have, but they don't think about the women that don't have men, and they think their men are so wonderful because they're given titles and positions in the church, instead of taking a humble enjoyment that the Lord follows, that their men follow the Lord, and they don't go to their men and say, "Oh, my family will be taken care of because I have taken covenants in the temple to follow this man, but that is only conditioned on this man following the Lord. So therefore, my eye is single to encouraging my man and the father of our home to follow the Lord." Instead, they're not caring about that. They're more concerned that he follows the church and all the other ones so that he can be a man of high standing and can be glorified. And she will see his true power as he sends them off to war to be killed. And this is a clear prophecy that we are going to, and we will see war throughout the land.